All right, I am recording. Beautiful. All right, I can see Fontaine and Gabriella are here. Hello, beautiful women. Beautiful to see you. Okay, so today I'm running our bonus masterclass, and today's masterclass is going to cover a few different things. It's the general sort of topic for today is, I've called it how to build a business in the coaching and wellness industry, but basically I'm going to be sharing just a whole heap of different tips and parts of my experience and things that I can see from my experience of being in this industry really work and will continue to work moving forward, or I can foresee are going to be a big part of what's required to build and grow a business in this industry. And yeah, it's going to be a big riff on all of that. So I'll share a little bit about my sort of business journey and building my business. Some of you may have already heard it, but I'll just give you a sort of succinct little overview of that process for me, because it's always really interesting for me to think back to where I was at certain points where this business didn't exist and I wasn't doing this work and I wasn't living my dreams. And so it's always really nice to sort of reflect on the journey you went through, you know, to get the journey I went through to get here. And I always like to share just any, you know, key insights and experiences and things I can teach based on that journey that I've walked. And then, yeah, I'm going to share, I've got a whole episode of tips of key things to keep in mind as you're building your business or your dream, whatever it is you're creating at the moment. And then I'll talk a little bit about this industry in particular, the coaching and wellness industry. It's sort of the blanket term I'm giving it. But, you know, it sort of covers anything in this space of health and wellness and coaching and spirituality and mindset and personal growth and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping you can all see me and hear me okay. It seems like it. And I'm just going to dive on in because I've got my big page of kind of notes. So where do I want to start with this? You know, where I start with this conversation is where I started with our mastermind. When we very first began talking about, hang on, let me just pull my chair in a little bit so that I don't have to lean forward so much. When we first began talking about this idea of the inner calling, and we were talking about this yesterday actually in our group coaching call a little bit, where what the, you know, the real catalyst for making these changes in our career and our work in the world and our creative gifts, how whatever we do in the world, is when we start to get that feeling, that knowing, that little voice within, that little pull within that is starting to guide us and pull us in a new direction, a direction that's different to perhaps, you know, what we thought we were going to do with our career and what we studied at college or university and what everyone was expecting of us. Suddenly this new feeling or voice or guiding force begins to get activated within us. And that can happen at all different times and for all different reasons. There's usually a catalyst for it. But that was when everything began to shift for me. Was first of all, I mean, actually I'd heard that feeling and that calling for a long time. I'd had visions drop in about me speaking on stages and working with people. I had a vision for that drop in when I was about 19, when I very first read Tony Robbins. Sorry, for some reason my face is all itchy. I'm all fidgety today. I'm going to try to not be fidgety. I read my very first Tony Robbins book when I was 19, and I had this vision just drop in of me speaking on stage and teaching this work to people, you know, but I was 19 and the industry was nothing like what it is. Like, I'm going to show my age, but that's coming up to 20 years ago, not quite 18 years ago, but a long time ago when I was 19. And so I had the inner calling and the inner feeling for a long time. I had it all through my 20s, actually, just a really clear desire for what I wanted. But what shifted, and we spoke about this yesterday in the group coaching call, was when I finally owned it and made the decision that I was going to act on it. Because a lot of us think about things for a really long time. We feel that feeling. We know we're passionate about stuff. But it's not until we say, oh my gosh, I'm really owning that this feeling is showing me there's something else I'm ready for. There's something else I'm here to create and do in the world. And so it was when I started really listening to that feeling and really deciding to act on it that my life turned in a completely different direction. So I came out of university, I studied teaching and disability studies, and I wanted to be a special education teacher. That was really what I thought my purpose in the world was. And I spent a lot of my 20s working in community services, educational services, and disability services, helping kids with learning difficulties. I was a program manager. I would manage caseloads of clients as well. But I always had this interest in self-development and spirituality. And it was when, you know, we all have a turning point. And my turning point was when I hired a life coach to work with me, because that life coach actually got me taking seriously what this feeling was. And my hope is that for a lot of you, that has been part of what you've experienced through being in the mastermind, is you're finally taking seriously this feeling that's saying, hello, I'm trying to show you what is next for you, what you're really here to do. And so I began acting on that feeling. And, you know, the thing as well that I always like to share about how my journey unfolded and how I think it's really important our journeys unfold is it was quite a natural progression and process for me. It was never really like, oh, that's it. I'm going to be a life coach and I'm going to go create this business. I actually never really thought I would set up my own business, and I never wanted to be a personal brand ever. But all I started doing was just following the little inspired action steps. So I knew kind of what I wanted, that I didn't really know what I wanted it to look like and how it was ever going to materialize. I just started following the inspired action steps. And that's so important when you are on this journey, that you are taking consistent steps that are building momentum. And you don't need to know where those steps are taking you and what this business or thing is that you're building and what it's eventually going to look like. You don't need to know that. But you do have to take action and be following the steps. And that's when everything started to change, when I started to take action. So my life coach got me setting up a blog. This is one of the most profound things I ever did, was when I set up a blog. This was, how old was I? 28, maybe 10 years ago. No, I'm not 38 yet. I'm 37. How old am I? I'm 37. Yeah, I forget how old I am. So almost 10 years ago, but like no one was blogging back in those days. So it was a really, really new thing. But that step changed everything. Now, I didn't know where that blog was taking me or why I was creating that blog. But as I began to just simply share my words and wisdom, sorry, I'm really distracted today. I just want to get that. I was looking really red. I just wanted to get that lighting thing a bit better. As I began following those inspired action steps, I just surrendered why I was doing what I was doing, and everything began to open up. So somehow people found my blog. I don't even know how. I wasn't promoting it. People found my writing. People started to write to me and share how much my writing was impacting them. I wrote on that blog for about a year to 2 years before I really did anything with it. But I talk a lot about this a lot through the mastermind, that sharing yourself, sharing your messages, sharing your gifts, letting people see and get to know you and hear your wisdom and receive what it is you have to offer is like the most important thing you can do to start to really build the momentum of what you want to create. Because it's nothing without the community. And the community, and we talked about this yesterday as well, the community and the feedback that you get gives you the confidence in what you're doing. For as long as you're just sitting on your stuff and you're not sharing it, you're not getting any feedback by anyone saying, thank you, you know, this really helped me. And you also don't feel like it's really real because it's just kind of an idea in your head. So for me, actually building this blog, getting my work out there, starting to get confirmation from people that were saying, your writing is really helping me. Thank you so much for this. It made this idea I'd had in my head for 10 years suddenly really real, really real. And because I was working with a life coach and I'd started learning about what it means to be a life coach, I'd never met a life coach before. And she's like, yeah, all you have to do is go through this training. And you can be certified. It was a 12-month training. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is something I could really, really do. And so it's all these little things that just start to make it real that are so important. Whatever you can do to take, it's not enough for it just to be an idea. Now, like I said, none of what I was doing was forced or pushed. I wasn't trying to build a business, but I was definitely following the action steps that were presenting. And I had made a decision that whatever this thing was going to become, I just had to follow this feeling. It was time to act on it. It was time to show up for it. And that changed everything. And I wrote on the blog for a while. I went and did my life coach training. I was terrified all through my life coach training. And I was like, how will I ever coach? Like, I can't imagine. I couldn't imagine myself having the confidence to be a life coach. But, you know, and like I said, we spoke about this yesterday. You build that confidence by just getting out there and practicing. Whatever it is you currently feel is not your area of strength. You doubt whether you're going to have the confidence or ability to do it. You wonder, God, could I ever be a public speaker? Could I ever be a coach? Could I ever do this full time? Could I ever make money on my with my music, with my acting, with my creative gifts? Whatever it is, the only way you're going to find the confidence and certainty in that is to start just getting out and doing it and sharing it and creating and offering your stuff and just showing up anyway, even if you doubt yourself, even if you're terrified, even if you don't have, you don't know whether you can pull it off. If I was to look back on one of my number one things that's enabled me to be a success, is stepping into those areas where I, even though I have every story in my head that I'm not good at it and I can't do it and all of that, I step in anyway. So I ran a lot of free life coaching sessions as I was training. I just literally, I signed up for my life coach training in November. By December, 1 month in, I was coaching. I had a whole handful of free clients. I was just like, I'm just going to get out there and coach for free as much as I can. And it was that real, like, just courageous determination to get good at this, even though I was really shit when I started. Same with recording videos. I was awful when I started recording videos. I also remember my very first live call that I ever ran, ever. And I was terrified. And it was a phone live call. So I ran it just audio. I ran a live training session. And I just had all my notes out on the floor, like the whole thing pretty much scripted. And I pretty much just read it word for word for an hour. And because I was like so terrified, I didn't trust my ability to just get on and talk like I do now. So with everything you where you want to be, you got to start at the place where you're really shit at it. Because that was my experience. And you just show up and you practice and you practice and you work it and you work it and you give it a go and you make mistakes and you step through the fear and eventually you build your confidence and you build your skill and eventually you become good at it. With everything, saying, you know, go and listen to my first ever podcast episode. Oh my God. Oh my God. And my intro music, it was so bad. And, you know, this is what I've recognized is a quality that I have that I don't think I've really acknowledged enough in myself is that really fierce courage and willingness just to go be a beginner and just get in there and give it a go, even though I'm terrified. Same with public speaking. It's the same way I've become relatively good at public speaking is through doing the same thing. So that's such a key part of it. And that's really what enabled me to build my business very, very quickly. And I just got into the trenches. I started practicing. I was sharing my writing. So I spent a good year in my transition. That transition looked like working full time, coaching clients in the evenings. I would coach one night a week and I would coach on the weekends. I was studying. So I would attend online webinars in the evening. Like I was jam packed. But I was committed. I was all in on my dream. And this is another key thing, which we spoke about yesterday too, but I don't care how long this takes you. I don't care if it takes you 10 years. And this is where I'm at with myself. I'm like, I don't care if it takes me another 10 years to get to where I want to be. I'm never giving up because this is what I know I'm destined for. And when you start to tap into that level of determination within yourself, nothing stops you. You might have setbacks, you might have moments where you need to step back, you might have times where you need to take a lot of space, but if you decide that this is what you want, go all in and never stop until you get it. I don't care how long it takes you. And that's my philosophy with how I'm building my business at the moment. Like, I'm a slow burn. Like, I'm not an overnight success. Stuff has taken me a really long time, but I'm committed. I'm in this for the long haul. So the process for me was really beginning to just follow and act on the feelings of inspiration I was getting around what I wanted to share. And I began to put my messages out there and let people get to know me and be visible and be heard and connect. And I built a community of people then that when it came to, so 11 months later, so I wasn't even a certified life coach yet. It was a month before I was about to be certified. And I don't know, maybe I've shared the story, or maybe this isn't even a good story to share because it's probably not the best example of it. But yeah, a month before I was certified, I was like, that's it. I'm quitting my day job and I'm going all in on my dream. And at that stage, I built up through all the writing and everything I was doing, I built up such a beautiful community of people that I had people ready and waiting to buy from me. And so this is another key thing that's so important is share your journey, the whole journey. If you are right at the beginning now, perfect. Take people on the entire journey with you. And I didn't even realize that that was a really great strategy when I was doing it, but it works so well for me because some people are in my community now who literally know me from my original blog, A Life of Perfect Days. That was my blog. They've literally been reading it. They've been with me since they first discovered that blog because they're so enrolled in my journey now. They're so on the journey with me because they've been with me from the early days. So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be anywhere. You don't have to know it all in order to begin. You just start sharing with where you're at and people become curious. People become interested. People lean in and they want to know what the next thing is that's going to happen with you. So we want to take people on the journey with us. And that worked really well for me without me even realizing it when I was starting. And as well, it's really beautiful when people get to see your growth. And so let people see your growth. Let people see what you're like when you start and then what you're like now. It's inspiring. And we've got to be willing to let ourselves be imperfect and be a beginner so that people can come on the journey of watching us grow. I even had a woman who's in my Align and Elevate journaling group. She left a comment in the group and she said, Connie, it's been so incredible to watch your growth as a teacher and a leader since last year. She was in last year's round of the journaling and she's now in this year's round of the journaling. And she's like, it's incredible to watch your growth as a teacher and a leader and a coach. Because I was very different this time last year in terms of how confident I was in my teachings. And so she was so inspired by being able to come on the journey and watch me grow. So that's something that's really worked for me. And it's a beautiful part of it is letting ourselves be like start where we're at and be imperfect at the beginning and then people come on the journey with you. So I think I'd also shared that, you know, this my whole journey as well has been very, very guided by my intuition. And I've often been surprised at how smart my intuition is and how strategic my intuition is. Because I look back at a lot of the things that I've done and I've been like, that was a really smart business move, but it didn't come from my head. It came from my intuition. And when you can really follow those little hits, you don't have to figure the whole thing out. Like little examples like, I remember, I don't know if I've told these stories before, but bear with me. I was flying back from LA and I had this idea to run this 90-day free challenge. Was it 90 days? That sounds like a really long time to do a free challenge. I think it was. This 90-day free challenge. And I was going to send out a worksheet every week to people. And it was a free 90 days of like, let's change our life. And it was literally just something I wanted to do in myself. And I'm like, I'll share it with my community. So at the time I put a little post on my blog about it and I had 500 people sign up for it. Now these days, it's a really smart marketing strategy to do a free challenge and then you pitch to that group. I didn't know any of that. This was literally just an intuitive feeling. So I created this free challenge And I emailed people individually every week because I didn't have MailChimp. I didn't have a mailing data, like marketing system. So 500 people, and because I was sending from my bloody Hotmail account, you could only send to like, I don't know, 30 people at a time. So I'd go in and insert the 30 names and then send an email and insert the next 30 names. And I did that every week for like however many weeks, 90 days is 12 weeks. What a joke. But that was my beginning point of business. And what ended up happening was people loved it, had this thriving Facebook group. And then I decided, why don't I create just a paid version of this? I'll get my workbooks designed. I'll make it a proper e-course. And then I'll sell that as like now a paid version because the free version went so well. And I did that. And I had this group of 500 people to sell to, had all these testimonials from how much people loved the free challenge. And I ended up making, I think my first launch, I made $25,000, which I'd never seen money like that before at that point. My first online course made 25 grand, and that's when I quit my day job. Now, that all sounds really, really smart. None of that was from my head. It was all just these little intuitive ideas that I had that I was like, oh, that sounds fun and that sounds cool and I'll do that. And I look back and I'm like, wow, my intuition is smart. So you don't have to get really heady about this. Even like I look at creating the podcast, I didn't even know I was creating a podcast. All I knew is I love talking to people and I wanted to record it. So this was before the days of podcasting. I had an online radio show. I hosted it on Blog Talk Radio. And I didn't even know I was creating a podcast. I thought I was creating a radio show. And so I would just interview people because I love talking to them. And then later, a few years later, I was like, oh, this is a podcast. Awesome. I didn't even realize. And also, I didn't even realize how smart it is to interview other people because then you get access to their community. Really smart. If you want to build your community, build relationships with other key people in your industry. Interview them, share their work, profile them, and then they'll share you. Like obvious, right? But I didn't know that. So really trust your intuition on, you don't always need to know why you're doing something, where it's taking you. But if you follow that little hit of excitement, you'll start to see what it's guiding you towards. And when you go all in on what you want, and I don't mean all in doesn't mean pushing and forcing and rushing it. All in means a wholehearted decision. No matter what, I'm going to have my dream. I'm going to create my dream. I'm going to do this. I don't care if it takes me 10 years. I'm doing this. When you make that wholehearted commitment and decision, then the universe starts to go boom, 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 and shift and change to support you. But for as long as we're sitting here in this place, I'm like, I think I want it. I don't know. Yeah, it sounds kind of good, but also my job, you know, pays really well. The ideas and the everything doesn't come to you because the universe is like, well, she hasn't decided yet whether she wants it. So why are we going to bring her this stuff? Yeah. And so then from, you know, my business has kind of grown from there. And I'll be honest, like there's been a lot of periods over the past couple of years, I found this really, really hard. I've gone through a lot of personal stuff. My father passed away really unexpectedly. I've gone through a lot of, gosh, relationship challenges, all this different stuff that at times my business has really struggled and it's been very, very difficult to work for myself through all of that. But I've never given up. And at times I've thought about, in fact, I have gone to do some other part-time work at different times to support me, and there's nothing wrong with that. I worked as a corporate coach actually in at Facebook. I coached there for a year. I don't know if any of you guys know that. I don't talk about it very much because it was kind of, I was contracted in as a coach into Facebook, but I worked there for a year and I coached their staff in there as a sort of a corporate coach. And it wasn't like my dream work, but it paid really well. So it was sort of like at different points in my journey, I have stepped out to get other ways to bring money in. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you still never give up on your vision. Even if you need to go and find other ways at times to support you financially, you never give up on your vision. If you really want to bring this to life. So let's talk about a few things I just really want to cover in terms of other just key points of things I've uncovered have worked really well. you know, the key thing here is to really follow what you're passionate about. I think you have to have passion being the driving force behind it, because for me, it, you know, and still for me to this day, it doesn't feel like work. It's just me talking about what I'm really passionate about. And I think people feel that, and I think that's what moves and inspires and impacts others. And that's what gives me energy personally, is I'm just following where I feel a passion inside of me. And I think that's all living out our purpose is really following that energy of passion and letting that be shared and expressed. I think staying focused on your why is really important as well. And I think we can have a lot of different whys. Your why can be about being of service to others and helping other people. Your why can be about the type of lifestyle that you want to live, your desire for freedom, your desire to be able to spend your days doing whatever you want to do. Or your why, and this is a big part of what my why is at the moment, can be about your self-expression and who you want to be as a woman. And I know my business is the greatest platform for me to step into my full potential. Like, I can't think of any other work I could do in the world that would give me so much opportunity to grow and develop and rise into more of who I truly am. And that's what I believe a big part of my why is, to continue to expand and grow through this platform of running a business and discover more of what I'm capable of and push past my limits. Continue to be guided by your intuition and your inner voice. It is the number one thing. Really, really is. The times that my business hasn't worked out or things haven't worked out is because it's been coming from my head. I've come up with smart ideas. I've come up with ideas to make money. I've written posts because it's strategic or whatever. It can still work. It's just not quite the same. And like I said, when you really commit to what you want, don't underestimate the power of that energy that will move through you and show you how to have it. Will tell you where you need to be and who you need to talk to and what you need to share. But your biggest thing is you can't ignore that voice. And we have to act on it when it's there. When the feeling comes, when that, you know, the idea comes, we act on it. Otherwise, it just sits inside of us and it never comes to life. You know, it's a seed that never blossoms. The thing that, and something I'm still working on, but a key thing that I think is so important is consistency wherever possible. Consistency is a difficult one for me. I struggle with it a little bit, but it's something I'm really committed to continuing to work on, because there's something really important about consistency. And the consistency for you doesn't mean doing things every day. Maybe it's just once a week. There's something you're committed to doing consistently. You know, I know the times that I've been really consistent in my business, consistent podcasts going out, consistent Instagram posts going up, consistent offerings of putting things out into the world. You know, the momentum that builds from that just blows my mind in terms of how quickly things can grow. So I'm going to be transparent. That's an area of work for me that I'm not perfect at. I'm not perfect at that consistency side. I do tend to really go in waves of like really sharing a lot, and then I go really quiet, and then I share a lot, you know. But I do know that the times that I've practiced consistency, the times that I've had the greatest growth in my business. I think the sharing of your personal journey alongside sort of your teachable wisdom or life experience is really, really important. So I try to strike that balance, and I think a lot of good teachers do it really well, between sharing a lot of wisdom that positions you as an authority, so someone who really knows what they're talking about and is trained and has an area of expertise and is skilled in an area, mixed with a very real, raw human being who has walked a journey, who has life experience to share and is very real and authentic and relatable and very transparent in saying, this is how I've worked through this stuff, and this is also still how I'm working through it. And I think there's a beautiful combination of both. I found when I go too far into only sharing personal stuff, it it takes me a little bit away from the position of being a leader and a guide and an expert, and takes me a little bit more into like, you know, I'm your best friend walking alongside you, which I think is important. But I don't, for me, feel that's the only element of how I want to be perceived in my industry. For me, it's also like wanting to be positioned as a leader. But if you go too far into just that, then you're sort of on this pedestal and people are like, cool, she's got a lot of great stuff to say, but I don't feel her. You know, I don't feel connected to her. So I think integrating both is really important. And that's something I'm still focusing on a lot. I think as well, you know, when you're teaching too or sharing anything, share a lot from your personal experience, because your journey, and I've said this before, but your journey has qualified you to share whatever it is you want to share. Whatever it is you're here to share, it's the journey that you have walked that has qualified you for that. And so we really, we can do a lot of that sort of way we communicate of, you know, I once was here and now I'm here. And I know that's why I say people feel drawn to the mastermind, because I'm very transparent about how much I struggled to get onto my path. And people can understand, oh, this wasn't just like she had a trust fund of money and then she could just go jump out there and build business. Like, I've had no financial support. I've had to build everything myself. And, you know, I really endeavor to be very relatable in how I've built my business. And that is appealing. People are like, oh, she's someone I can connect with, because she gets where I was and she gets where I want to be and she can help me get there. And that's a really valuable thing to communicate to your audience. So always, you know, if you're ever wondering what to share and what to teach and what to support people with, just spend time reflecting on your own journey and where you can really see one moment you're here and now you're here. And how did you do that? How did you get through that? How did you make that leap or that change? And that is part of your qualification as a leader, or a teacher, or a guide for others. And people really like hearing that stuff. They like hearing your personal experiences. Networking and building relationships is everything. This is an area for me moving forward in 2020, because it's dropped off a little bit for me. But particularly when I started, it was such a big focus for me, was building relationships. And I put a lot of effort into reaching out to people, you know, offering very genuine compliments and sharing other people's work and celebrating other people's successes and launches. Leaving really genuine comments with people, because I was just really desperate to connect with anyone in this space. I wanted a community. So I was like, I'm going to put in that effort. And I built some absolutely amazing friendships and connections online with people who are still my friends to this day when I very first started. And they're the types of relationships that are not only giving you support, but it's so valuable to have relationships and connections with key people in your industry. And again, none of this has to be heady and with an agenda, but if I actually think about any of the sort of big opportunities I've received, not any, but majority, particularly speaking opportunities or opportunities to be featured in the media, it's come through existing relationships. So any media, I mean, I had a 3-page spread about me in a magazine, and that was a woman that we'd been connecting on Instagram for a little while, just chit-chatting. And then she thought of me as someone. And another woman was a client of mine. She was running a PR agency and she's featured me in some magazines. And then just all of it's been relationships. And anyone that's asked me to speak, I have an existing relationship with them. They know me. And we've spent time building that relationship. Usually as well, anyone that I bring on Awaken Radio, I've spent some time building a relationship with them first too. And I would also, if you ever want something from someone, want something, not that I really like that, but I have a lot of people pitch to me and I'm like, you have spent no time building a relationship with me before you come to me wanting something. And it really bothers me. And I see it happen a lot. If you want to be, say, on someone's podcast, if you want to speak at their event, whatever, spend some time genuinely building a relationship with them. we tend to do business with people we know and like, you know? And, you know, I've often thought if someone would just spend a bit of time, you know, interacting with my content and chit-chatting with me in the DMs and building a relationship with me, I would naturally then be like, oh, hey, do you want to come on my podcast now? You know, versus them just pitching a cold pitch to me. It just never sits with me. So I think relationship building is everything. In whatever industry you're in, find the key people in your industry, interact with their work, send them genuine compliments and praise for what they're doing. Have them get to know you, and then they'll think of you when they're thinking of a guest for their podcast, or they're running their event and they think, who can come speak at that event for me? Or they'll think of you. So I think relationships are so, so important. Yeah, I've said it doesn't matter how long your journey takes. Your journey may take a long time. It doesn't matter. But if you're really devoted and committed to what you want, you never give up on that. You never give up on that. That's been the key thing. Even you might step away and take breaks at different points. It's totally fine, but you never give up. I would say as well, one of my mistakes I made when I set up my business that I think is something I would do differently if I could do it again is make sure you have really good solid foundations when you get started. So the only downside to my approach was everything happened really, really quick. Really quick. And it was incredibly overwhelming. And I didn't have any chance or time to really set up the foundations of the business that I needed. I didn't even have a business bank account. Everything just went into one personal bank account. I didn't have accounting software, bookkeeping software set up. I didn't have an accountant for the first 2 years of business. I didn't know how to manage this new amount of money that was coming in because it's very different. It's very different making money through business than it is through a weekly paycheck. I didn't know how to manage that. I didn't have any support. I didn't have an assistant or a VA or anyone supporting me. I didn't have any systems or anything. Like, it was a schmozzle my first year and I made a great amount of money. I mean, I made more money than I'd ever made in that first year, but it was a shit fight. It was just, everything was everywhere. So if I could do it again, I would ensure, and this is why I do really actually believe in, it's okay to really take your time with this stuff and build things slowly, build out really solid foundations. You know, I never even went through a branding process. I still, I think to this day, don't even really know what my brand is. My boyfriend's a bit interested in all things marketing and branding and stuff. And he did this brand survey questionnaire thing with me. And I was like, wow, this is a really valuable exercise. I should probably really determine what my brand is all about. Something like that, you know. So start off right, you know, ensure particularly with financials, you are setting up things up in the right way. Some of you might already be on this stage, but I'm just looking back and this was one of my mistakes. You know, separate your business and personal, have a good accountant, have a good bookkeeper, take it seriously, get really think about your brand and your positioning and actually really map that out and get some clarity on that. I mean, you don't have to, obviously I went around it a different way, but I think this is really useful. Get some sort of systems and routines and structures set up around how you're going to manage things. You know, if you're writing the same email all the time in response to something, create that as a template, copy and paste it. There's all these little systems we can set up. You know, if you ever get testimonials and beautiful comments, have a Word document or a Google Doc that all goes in. So you're compiling all your client and reader feedback, even if it's just a beautiful comment on Instagram of someone saying, oh, I loved this post, copy and paste it and put it in a document, even if it's just for you to look at and be like, to really see how much you're helping people. But also there are little testimonials and things you can draw on and little quotes you can use to give social proof of the value of your work. So there's lots of little things that I didn't do at the start. And so it's okay if you want to take things slowly to really build good, solid foundations in your work or your business, whatever it is you're doing, to make sure things are done right. That was a big mistake I made. And I would say look at getting some form of support in your business as early as possible. I literally probably only this year have really taken it seriously, having support in my business, and I'm just delegating like a mofo at the moment, and it feels so good. And getting support, whether it's even just through working with a VA to help with some things, or having a mentor, or having a designer that you work with, just places where you're not, you know, my biggest weakness was always wanting to be a one-man band and trying to do everything myself. I've become an expert in accounting software and in podcast editing and in marketing strategies and in coaching and in speaking. And, you know, like, we don't need to wear every hat. We say, here's my zone of genius, and now let me delegate and get support in everything else. That's definitely what I would have done differently. I would have got that support way earlier and ensured I was really only doing what I was really, really good at. And I'm only really starting that process now. My intention for next year is, by the end of next year, I don't want to be doing anything that's not my zone of genius, which means pretty much all I should be doing is creating and teaching. That's it. Creating content, writing things, videos, course content, podcasts, and then teaching it. Showing up, sharing the messages, running classes, maybe working with clients, doing teaching online, that's it, and speaking. Ultimately, they're my two areas of strength, and that's all I should be doing. And so I'm working at the moment to ensure that everything else in the business is taken care of by other people. And that's a big transition you go through in business when you get to that point. But I'm recognizing I can't possibly expand in the way that I want until I do that. It's not possible. I have tried to expand my business being the woman that does it all, and all you end up doing is running yourself into the ground. So you can do it for a little while, but you get to a point where it's not gonna work. So that's a big area of focus for me next year. And I can't tell you how good it feels to be supported. It feels so, so good. Let's see. I've mentioned financial systems. I've mentioned building relationships. I've mentioned never giving up. Let's talk a little bit about this industry. So, you know, this industry, like I said, it's such a broad blanket term. It can be anything. You know, sort of even just having a personal brand these days is sort of part of this as well. And you know, you can talk about whatever you want on there. But if we were to talk about this kind of space of helping others, wellness, coaching, personal development, being an inspirer, uplifter for others in whatever way you want, I think this industry is absolutely booming. I think it's still booming, and I think it's still growing, and I don't know if it's going to have a cap on it anytime soon, because there are a lot of people struggling at the moment, and I think it's getting worse. And I've often worked with health coaches in the past as clients, and they've said to me, oh, there's so many people teaching about health. And I'm like, until we are all radiantly glowing with vibrant health, we still have work to do, and you still have people out there who need you. Like, you know, the epidemics of anxiety, depression, suicide, mental health issues, particularly for young people, eating disorders, like, it is rife. And any of us that know we have a gift and an ability to help and heal, we have work to do. And our work is far from over. And we are so blessed to have the internet to help us, because I can now reach people in countries that otherwise I would not be able to reach. And I have people out there who find a lifeline through stumbling across my blog, through listening to a podcast. I had a woman the other night say, she's like, I listen to your podcast every night before bed. She's like, I can't tell you how much it comforts me. I've been struggling with this, I've been struggling with that, but just listening to your voice, it's so comforting. You know, and I, without, you know, Instagram and the ability for her to message me, I would never know that that was the impact I was having. We don't realize sometimes why we're being called to do what we're doing, but there are so many people on the planet at the moment who are really, really struggling. And until everybody is happy and whole and well, we still have work to do, and we still have people to reach, and we still have people to help. And there are billions of people out there right now. who were looking for help, who were on Google late at night looking for support. So, you know, I know it can feel like this industry in particular is saturated, particularly if you tend to, like me, only follow people in this industry. But we've still got a lot of work to do to heal this planet at this time and to heal everyone who, you know, we're all struggling in our own way. And, you know, I know how helpful it is for me when I'm struggling with something. I can go online and Google it and look at a video or read a podcast or listen to a podcast and be like, oh, that really helped me, you know? And that's what we can do for other people through our willingness just to keep putting our work and our messages and our light and our wisdom out into the world. We don't need to know yet who it's going to reach and when. And like just put, you know, this is what I'm sort of realizing. And I know it's hard to do, but it's just so important to keep putting our work out into the world, because with the beauty of the internet, people can find it. People can find it at the strangest times, and they can find it a year after you wrote it. And, you know, you could write it and think no one even cares, but then someone finds it in the exact moment they need to find it, you know? So we've got to trust whatever we feel to share. I really believe if you are setting up, say, a coaching business, if that's part of it, or something in the wellness space, really harness the power of the internet. Because, you know, you can run a local business and that's totally fine, but you're limited in who you can reach. And I would say I've looked at my sales and I'm pretty split. If I launch a course or anything, it's usually 50-50 Australia and then usually, yeah, the States, Canada, UK, and then parts of Europe. But America's a pretty key part of my sales. So if I was running a local business, I'd be very, very limited in who I could reach. And like I said, any course launch that I do, whenever I look at it, about 50% of my sales are coming international. Sometimes even more. You know, we even look at this, we've got a real mix of people in this course too. So you have the ability, particularly if you do, you know, your coaching online, online courses, online programs, you can reach so many people. So it's really powerful. You know, and I think just, I know not everyone is working in the coaching space, but just to talk on that, because I do have obviously coaches, and coaching is the space I've been in for, yeah, I've been coaching for 7 years now. So I started, it's my anniversary time. It's the 2nd of December. It's always around November, December that I know is my anniversary, which means I think I'm on 8 years now. When did I start? So 2019, yeah, I started in 2011. 8 years of coaching. It's crazy. But what I've come to realize, both through being coached and through being a coach, is that it is one of the most valuable, beautiful gifts you can offer someone. And what I've recognized is people aren't always looking to have... Thank you, Monte. People aren't always looking to have their problems solved. I mean, people do like to get solutions, but sometimes they just want to be heard and seen and validated and acknowledged. You know what I mean? It's one of the biggest things. If you want to be in this space, this area of work, don't underestimate the power of just holding space for someone, being really present and deeply listening. It's just one of the most beautiful gifts you can give someone. And so many of us are craving that. And I guarantee you so many of the clients I've worked with over the years come to me just needing someone to talk to and needing someone to hear them and validate them in what they're feeling and in what they're going through. That is so much for me, often a massive chunk of my coaching sessions. And, you know, anyone who's a good coach will know this already, but you build incredible rapport with someone, first of all, simply just by hearing them, but then also just mirroring back whatever's going on for them. And that's a big part of how I start a coaching session, is really making sure that person knows I've heard them. And I say back what they've said to me in my own words, to really ensure that they can see that I've heard them. And you get this immediate, anyone who's a coach knows this, you get this immediate, yes, that's exactly it. She gets me. She sees me. She knows me, you know? And that's very much just a coaching strategy, is a way of building rapport, is sort of is mirroring back the what someone shared with you. But it's also an incredible way to connect with someone. And it requires a real gift of ability of listening. So listening, curiosity, holding space, being present, and just asking great questions. I have found over the years has been the greatest strategy for being a great coach. And I don't do much one-on-one at the moment. In fact, I have one client by choice. I've got one woman that I've been working with for a while. I've said no to, I can't even tell you how many people this year. I just keep saying no to clients. But when I was at my peak, the amount of coaching I was doing, I was coaching 3 days a week. It was pretty full on. I would have 2 days of my own clients. So, and I would do maximum 5 sessions in a day. So I would coach on a Wednesday, 5 sessions. Thursday, I'd then go into Facebook and I'd do a day in Facebook. I'd do 5 sessions at Facebook. And then on Friday, I'd coach 4 sessions. So sometimes that was 14 sessions in 3 days. And I wouldn't recommend that. That was a lot. That was sort of at my peak. That was a couple of years ago when I was really promoting my coaching. And that for me was when coaching was my primary income. And I was doing a little bit of online courses on the side. So I definitely think it's important to have numerous income streams, have your one-on-one coaching, but then also, or one-on-one yoga or one-on-one wellness coaching, whatever it is you offer, but then also have other income streams like an online course or events that you're doing, like as many income streams as possible will support you. It takes the pressure off just one thing. These days I'm not doing the one-on-one, but I'm doing all of my groups instead. So I've taken all of my expertise from hundreds, thousands of hours of coaching people and now put it into online programs. But yeah, when I was coaching one-on-one, that was sort of what I would do, and everyone was on program. So I really do believe in creating minimum 3-month program. My program was 5 months long, because I noticed that it was between the 3 and 6 month mark that clients would have the greatest transformation. So you'll get to 3 months and some will be on the verge of a transformation, but it usually happens in month 4 and 5. It really, really clicks. So you can get someone through a transformation in 6 sessions in 3 months. You absolutely can. You can get someone through a transformation in 1 session. But I've noticed it was between month 3 to 6 that the real changes happened across numerous areas of life, which is why I do make most of my programs longer than 3 months. And so, yeah, I had a whole range of people in 5 month programs, and I would talk to them every 2 weeks. And yeah, at my peak, I was doing a mix of that and of being in a Facebook as well. So yeah, it is whatever it is that you're wanting to teach, you know, and I've been listening a lot to, what's her name? Angie Lee at the moment. So Angie Lee has a podcast called The Angie Lee Show, and she speaks about entrepreneurship and business and marketing. She's really great for strategy stuff. And she said one of her biggest things that helped her build her business was just jumping on so many calls with people. So either sales calls, she calls them, or obviously coaching sessions. And what I would recommend you do is after a coaching session, make notes and really understand, you know, pull out, we spoke about this on the group coaching call for Arena a couple of sessions ago, pull out the key language that your client tends to use over and over and over, what they're struggling with, what they're asking for, what they're wanting, what they're needing. What the outcome is they're wanting. You can learn so much through listening to people. Even if I do a discovery call for the mastermind and someone doesn't sign up, I still get huge amounts of information about my ideal client through talking to that person. And that's what Angie Lee said. She's like, I would just write down everything about my ideal client, and I got to know them inside out, and I got to know their pain points and their pleasure points and the language that they use. And that helps you then communicate with them. And really helps them know, helps you speak to them in a way where they go, oh yeah, she really gets me, and she's speaking directly to me. And that's what I've often found actually with this mastermind sales page. A few people have often said to me like, Connie, that sales page speaks directly to me. And I'm like, yeah, because I was that woman, because I've coached this woman for 7 years, I know her really well. So I kind of know what she's feeling and struggling with. So I think if you are, you know, are either in the coaching profession or getting into it, I think it's one of the most incredible professions. Like, it's such a gift. We have such, I have such an honor to be able to at times hear things that people haven't shared with anyone else. That's the other thing, is trust. You just build this incredibly safe, trusting container for a person to be held. It's so beautiful. And you know, I've often coached coaches who are like, oh, you know, I have to have the answers and I have to know what to say and I have to have great advice. Not always. Sometimes you can share great advice and you can offer a tool or a strategy or a tip. Other times, just help that person feel really heard and ask great questions that help them come to the realization within themselves. You can just guide and direct them to come to that moment of within themselves where they see it and they get it and they solve the problem for themselves rather than you telling them. So it's actually, it doesn't need to be as difficult. I used to make it really, really difficult and be like, I have to think of something amazing to say. Well, not always. You know, the other thing as well is, what do I have here? I also think, yeah, it's really important when you come into whatever you want your work in the world to be, it can totally shift and change and evolve and morph into whatever. So, you know, I've watched a lot of people come into this industry as like a health coach, and now they're teaching about business and scaling to seven figures. And now they're teaching about masculine, feminine energy. Like, you know, you can divert all the time. And so sometimes I've had people sort of say, oh, I don't know what it is I want to do. Do I want to be a life coach? Do I want to be a yoga teacher? Do I want to do this? Like, it doesn't really matter. Just start somewhere. Start with something that gives you an entry point, that gives you something that will qualify you to just get started. I think that's something Shirley's done really well, is she just sort of started with the skills that she has, and then it's all going to grow and open up and evolve from there. And that's all you need to do, is once you build the community and the platform, you can then take it in whatever direction you want. And of course it's going to shift and change, because you're a human and you are on your own growth journey, and then you're going to bring your community along as you shift and change. And I think we never want to box ourselves in to have to be one thing. It's totally okay if the vision changes and your interests change as it's all evolving. But that's why it's so important to just keep following that intuition and keep sharing from the realness of your own journey, because then people are sort of, if you do change and pivot, people kind of know why, because they've been listening to what you've been talking about through the year. I was getting distracted. I was having a few different thoughts come in. I've had a couple of different things. But they're on the journey with you, so it makes sense. So they're watching you grow and they're growing alongside you. So yeah, it's never has to feel weird if you do then change directions. You know, and in terms of standing out in this industry or in whatever industry you're in, I know that's a key thing that comes up for people, is how do I stand out in this kind of noisy world? And it's difficult to do. A couple of things I would say on that is, I think audio and video are just, they're already massive, but I think they're going to keep being massive in this industry or in any online business or any online platform that you have, because particularly video is how you really stand out, in terms of someone gets a feel for everything about you that makes you unique: your energy, your voice, the way you move your body, the way you communicate about things, the stories you tell, how you make them feel. There's so much you can create on video that you can't do in writing. You just can't. And it's really easy for someone to scroll past a big amount of text, much harder to scroll past a video that catches their attention or a piece of audio that really inspires them. Something I've noticed with audio is people really love it. You know, listening to podcasts, they're absolutely growing. And, you know, if you're in someone's ears every day and they're hearing your voice speaking to them every day, you become incredibly familiar to them. And people buy from people they like, know, and trust. And you build trust speaking into that person's ear every day. and I've had this happen, I can't even tell you how many times. People come on a discovery call with me and they're like, oh, Connie, I feel like I already know you. I feel like you're my best friend because I've been listening to you for years. And mean, it's the first time I've met them, but they feel like they know me inside out. They feel like they're my bestie, you know, because I've been in their ears all the time. Not that I'm trying to get in there, but this is the power of audio and video. We build relationships so much quicker. We build trust, we build connection, we build familiarity, we build relationship. And, you know, sales and building a business is all about relationships. Marketing, all about relationships, all about it. You can't skip over relationship building if you want to grow a business. So I really see moving forward that audio and video, and this is going to be a big focus of mine for next year, is the key way that you will stand out and connect with people. And you don't need to be anything on video except yourself. And that's what will make you magnetic, is just how freely you are being you and people are feeling you and seeing you and getting to know you and getting curious to you. I can't tell you how many times I've been on like the Instagram discovery page and I've seen like just a video pop up and I'm like, oh, what's this? And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I don't know what this is all about. But through watching that person, then I watch a couple of their videos, suddenly they feel really familiar and I get a little gist of their personality. And I'm like, oh, I think I might follow them. I find them really interesting. You can't quite do that with writing. Writing is absolutely a beautiful part of it, but I think video and audio is really what's going to help us stand out and show and showcase what is different and unique about us, and really build that relationship. And I think two-way relationship is incredibly important as well. You know, if we look at the trend of social media, the posts on Facebook and Instagram that are being, are getting the most, what's the word I'm looking for? What do they call it? Not exposure. There's a word for it. But are being the most seen or being the most, that are being the most seen are the ones that have the most interaction on them. So the more comments, likes, not as much these days, but comments and shares and everything that your story, your video, your post gets, Facebook or Instagram goes, oh, this is something people like and this is something people want to see, so we're going to give it more exposure. We're going to bump it up in the feed. Because through people interacting with it, it's showing that it's a valuable piece of content. So these days, two-way conversation is everything. It's not enough for us to just put out a piece of content and be like, woohoo, cool, I did that. We need to create a conversation. We need to create community. We need to create interaction. The more interaction and engagement, that's the word I'm looking for, engagement. The more engagement there is, the more visibility you get. So we are being encouraged to create relationship, to create two-way conversation, to create engagement, to create pieces of content that get people thinking and talking and interacting. And also, I mean, you look at the rise of Facebook Live, Instagram Live, IGTV, all of it, video is the way forward. And whether you think you're clunky on video or not, start practicing. If you want to grow a business online, start practicing video, number one thing. And the only way you get good on video is through practice. It's the only way. And you build your confidence in it and you find your voice. You know, the number of times, I think, I don't know if I've shared this here, but I've shared it before. I used to do video blogs for myself on my laptop when I was starting out. And I would just talk to myself each day. And sometimes I'd just share about my day and other times I'd give a little piece of wisdom and I'd just riff stuff out. And I would watch my videos back and I started to learn about how to change. And Gabriella can probably relate to this through acting and things like that. I began to change how I was communicating by watching myself back. And I'd be like, oh, well, you know, even as you know, I talk a lot with my hands, but I'd be like, oh, the way I say that word wasn't very clear. Let me work on my articulation of that. Or I would just learn so much about how I would communicate. And my voice has completely changed since I started. I articulate things completely differently. I speak completely differently. I have a different tone to my voice. My voice is deeper. My voice has evolved through practice. And through watching myself back constantly and then tweaking how I communicate so it's more effective. And one of the things a lot of people say to me is, Connie, you're so articulate. You very often describe things and explain things so well. And I'm like, that's just a hell of a lot of practice. That's just 6 or 7 years of however many years of sitting in front of people and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. So, and I love always the saying, don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle. Don't ever compare how you are on video to someone like me or someone else who's been in the industry for years, because that person's got 7 years on you. Compare to yourself. Watch yourself back and then watch how you can improve. Practice, practice, practice. Again, I actually just had to delete a whole heap of, you know, on Instagram stories, you can have your archives. I found some archives for only about a year ago or maybe 18 months ago. And I had to delete that stuff because I was like, I didn't even recognize myself. I was so shy on Insta story. And I was like, so my voice is so high. And I was like, hi everyone, please like me. You know, like I look back on it and I was like, oh, con. But that's where I was at. And now I've evolved and I can see how I've grown and I go, awesome. Now I just fucking own it when I get on there. I feel really confident on there. But that just came through practice. So maybe identify the areas that feel like, okay, I'm going to have to work on this. I'm going to be working on my voice or my self-expression or my writing or my confidence on video or my confidence in public speaking or my fear of visibility. And when you see those areas of growth, don't shy away from them because they're uncomfortable. Lean in. And just get in there and practice. Be willing to look silly. Be willing to make a mistake. Be willing to be vulnerable. Be willing to be a beginner. Just practice, 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 practice. And I think that's one of the biggest things. If you can see the areas that are outside your comfort zone but are actually going to really help you expand, commit to leaning into them and just working on them more. That's where, you know, it's really interesting for me. Did I say it in this mastermind or my other mastermind? I can't remember. Maybe it was that my mastermind at the start of this year. I can't remember if I said it to you guys, that Instagram Live was like my biggest fear. I think I talked about it a lot through my first mastermind in the first half of this year. I used to keep saying to the group, I really need to get on Instagram Live, but it terrifies me. Like, I hated Instagram Live. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even bring myself. I would sit, I'd put the phone. This was literally only in kind of March of this year. I put the phone up and I'm like, I'm going to do an Instagram Live. And I'd sit there with my finger hovering on the button for about 2 hours. Be like, come on, Connie, press record. I'm like, hang on, I'm just going to go to the toilet. Come back. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go live. I'd hold my finger. I'd be like, just press the button, Connie. Just press the button. You can press it. I couldn't do it. And then I wouldn't do it. And these days I can go live and I'm pretty good. I still get a little bit nervous, but I've done heaps of Instagram Lives over the past 6 months. And I would say I'm pretty damn confident on it now. I get nervous for about the first sort of 5 seconds. I feel my a little bit like that, but then I just drop into it and I'm good. And literally only in March of this year, I think I remember doing one of my first lives when I was up in Burley Heads in March, and I nearly crapped my pants and I was sweating the whole time. I was so nervous, but I just stepped in and I was willing to have my voice shake and I was willing to look stupid and I was willing to look nervous and clunky, but I just stepped in anyway. And now I feel pretty confident in it. So yeah, that's kind of my riff on all of that. I hope that, you know, I know you're all in different places and you're all building different sort of either businesses or putting different things out into the world, but I hope you've been able to get something from that and find some value in that. If you have any other questions about anything that I haven't touched on, anything specific, post it in our Facebook group. Feel free to ask away, ask anything that you want to know from me. I'm more than happy to share anything about my journey. I'm completely, completely transparent in that. But that is a wrap. That is our final class for the mastermind. I feel a bit emotional. I'm going to be sending you out an email tomorrow with a reflection workbook. So it's your final workbook, which has some beautiful reflective questions to get you thinking over and reflecting over this mastermind journey and integrating the experience a little bit more deeply. I will still be active in our Facebook group until the end of the year. I will be starting a new round of the mastermind next year, but until, particularly to the end of this year, even, you know, a bit into early next year, if you still want to be sharing things, asking questions, posting in our community, please do. I'm not going to delete the community. So even if I'm not as active in there next year, you can still come in there. You can still ask questions and share things. You know, this group that you've shared this journey with, it's going to stay there. So continue to draw on everything. You continue to have access to the members site. You can re-log in there at any time and revisit the material. And those of you who have the one-on-one coaching session, I had emailed you to say booking it in before the end of the year. If you would prefer to have your session at the start of next year, that's okay. Just email me and let me know. I would be okay to do that with you at the start of next year instead, if you don't feel that as yet you have anything to dive into in a session before the end of this year. So feel free to email me about that and we can chat about that. But otherwise, I'm so proud of all of you. I would love, I'll post in our Facebook group about it, but I would love if you each wanted to do just a final video, just a final reflection video, just as a way to complete this course and let us know, maybe once you've done the reflection workbook, what some of your key takeaways were and your key experiences were through being a part of this. And we can wrap up in December with a lot of love, because I'm so, so proud of all of you and really proud of you for coming on this journey and showing up so wholeheartedly for what's important to you and for what you want to create in the world. And it's been an honor to mentor you and support you through all of this. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this with me. And we will stay in touch. Thank you, Gabriella. My pleasure. Thank you for being here. I will talk to you all soon. This is not the end. This is the beginning. And I can't wait to see what unfolds for you all in 2020. Thank you, Fontaine. My absolute pleasure. Sending you all lots of love and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.